Mist out there. Temperature of 30 degrees at our studios on East Wausau Avenue in Wausau. Not only that, it's a breezy day. We got some gusty winds up to 30 miles per hour. So a wind chill factor of 18. It is April the 17th. I hope you enjoyed summer because that was last week. But we're going to try to warm things up and brighten things up. I am Chad Holmes. It is the Chad Holmes Show. On Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at BowFallsRadio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. Coming up on the program in about 7 minutes or so, we'll be talking to Bob Look. Citizen Bob, he wants to be made known, but former candidate for the state Senate. We're going to talk a little bit about what's going on politically around Wisconsin. Also talk a little bit about sports as well, because the man wears multiple hats. So Bob Look coming up at 2:15. Coming up in the second hour, we're going to have some thoughts on these weekend news items, and one of which will be, some shootings. And beyond the gun issue, I want to speak a little bit in the next hour about the idea of the stand your ground laws, because in a lot of ways it feels like it's almost a free pass for folks to shoot first and ask questions later. You remember that old saying, shoot first and ask questions later? Well, unfortunately, it feels like the law is pointing in that direction. So I'm going to talk about that and some other news headlines as well coming up in the second hour. But first, I want to mention about the weather, because, again, even with the snow, that means there's more snow, and ultimately it's going to melt again. And the flood warning continues again for areas in our listening area. Flood warnings continue for the Wisconsin River below Wausau, affecting us here in Marathon County. Wisconsin River at Merrill, also affecting Marathon and Lincoln counties. So again, I mentioned this last week. Make sure that if you do run into any sort of flooding, do not attempt to drive around the barricades or drive cars through flooded areas. And especially do not drive through those flooded roads. Most of the flood deaths occur in vehicles. So again, we've had these flood warnings for the past week or so. It was different last week because the warm temperature ultimately melted all that snow. And then, boy, yesterday, and with the before even the snow that came, some very heavy rainfall. And then, of course, now we have snow. And hopefully in the next day or so, when it does get sunny and a little bit warmer tomorrow, that the snow is going to go away. But again, we have these opportunities for floods as well. Real quickly, looking at the forecast, and again, we'll have a complete rundown on what to expect weather-wise when we get a chance to talk to Ray Miller, our weatherology.com meteorologist, coming up just after 3 o'clock. But right now, we'll be fortunate to get to the projected high of 33 degrees this afternoon. Tonight, again, a chance of snow early, a chance of flurries, turning partly cloudy, but 25. Tomorrow, the one decent day during the course of this week, and it's still well below normal. Tomorrow, sunny skies, 45, and then it's going to be wet on Wednesday. It's going to be wet on Thursday, a chance of being wet on Friday, perhaps wet on Saturday, and temperatures remaining in the 10 to 15 degrees below normal range for the rest of this week. So if you're like me, you want to get out there and broadcast some high school athletics, high school baseball and softball. We had a chance finally last week to have a full week of activity. Our game today between between Newman Catholic and Stratford postponed. Tomorrow scheduled for Wausau West against Marshfield. Boy, barring a miracle, I don't see it happening because of field conditions. And then Thursday, Marathon and Weston softball not looking all that great as well. So again, it's just we're going to have to wait and see weather-wise. The good news is most of the time, if you hold your breath for a few minutes, it will change. But for the next week or so, does not look like anything that we can look forward to in terms of outdoor activities. Again, light snow, fog, mist, 30 degrees is the temperature with a wind chill factor of 18. But plenty to talk about. Having a look back, it feels like it's been longer than 13 days since the election. But talk about results. What have we found out about Wisconsin? We're going to talk about that. Other political news, a little sports as well with Bob Look coming up. I'm Chad Holmes. It is the Monday edition, the Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and of course on the Civic Media app. With you on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. The time is 2:15. Good Monday. We're going to try to make you forget about how cold and blustery and winter-like it's outside, but glad you could spend a few hours with us here on Bow Falls Radio, and glad to welcome back into the studio. Guy that knows his way around a microphone, Bob Look. Bob, good to see you.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful.
You know, real fast before we jump into the politics, I was thinking about, I'm sure, and I know you remember this as well, back in the days when Wausau had a Midwest League baseball team. And
I was thinking about that, you know, because I came to town here in 1988, and it was the last few seasons of the Wausau Timbers. Mm-hmm. And we did the games in 89 and 90, their last 2 years in town. We did not all their games. We would do selected games. And I was doing a play, and I remember some of those April games that there was snow, you know, in the foul territory, and they had the ground rules. Well, if the ball rolls in, it's just like a ground rule double and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, only in Wisconsin.
Needed a Charlie Finley orange ball for those
games. Oh, man. You know, you're talking about the high school sports and that stuff. It reminded me of, because last week you were at Brockmire, weren't you?
Yep.
For a game. I always have a deep affection for that field because that was the first place that I went to do the first thing back in broadcasting after I lost my wife. Mm. I they were wondering, are you sure you want to do high school baseball game? He says, yeah, I feel better doing that than trying to do a morning show. You know, let me just kind of, you know, and plus I was staying in town. Mm-hmm. I wasn't going off to Wisconsin Rapids with working there. And so they had Assumption came up here to play Newman. Mm-hmm. And it was It really was what I needed at that point in time.
It's a lovely environment. You see the ski hill.
See the ski hill and that, and plus the fact both coaches And the players all made a point to come up to me and, you know, shake my hand or else, you know, nice seeing you, Bob. Great, glad to see you at the ball game. And it's one of those things. And plus, I played a heck of a game. It was a grand slam walk-off home run that won the game. You know, and it was incredibly exciting, and it was a lot of runs scored. Both teams, I think, were in double digits. It was 11 to 10 or something like that. I can't remember. But when you mentioned you posted that on Facebook, and it just brought back that memory of that day. It just felt good.
There's a family atmosphere around high school sports.
Yeah.
And the thing about it is, and it's nothing against, you know, I've talked to people. I said, you know, it'd be great to be working a network and doing pros, but I would not be any more excited to do that than to do a high school game. It's just, you know, there is something that is right about it. And it's hard to sometimes explain it, but I go there, and I think there's so many years, you go there, and it just, hey, this is right. It just feels right.
Well, the first high school sporting event I did was a high school football game with Port Washington High School for this little station I was started working for part-time then. And basically the boss, and I was all of 19 years old, he had, you know, in the stand, or he was doing the game, and he brought me along and said, well, okay, second quarter, I'll let you do the play-by-play, and I'll just, you know. Well, second quarter's there. Off he hands it off to me, and I'm thinking he's going to hang out here. Hey, he gets up and leaves.
Goes to the concession stand.
Just leaves. Just gone.
Went home.
he wasn't anywhere where I could say, hey, you know, nothing. Just threw me out there, and off we went. And every play sounded like the greatest football play ever. You know, a 3-yard, you know, end sweep. Oh, what are they? My voice is up around there. And, oh, man,
the first one is the greatest thing ever.
You know, I thought it was the one most wonderful. Oh, this is great. I'm a broadcasting. Sports.
I say to the people that when I bring on new people, I say, you know, listeners, they will give you a lot more rope in terms of, you know, growing as an announcer if it sounds like you want to be there.
No, yeah.
That's the bottom line. You got to want to be there and be excited and say, this is where I want to be.
It was fun. And you know, it's kind of funny is that, you know, that was like one of the first things I did there. And the very last thing I did for that radio station, Port Washington, by that time I was now working in Milwaukee full time, but I let them finish out the football season because I knew Port Washington had a good team that year. And they won the state championship, Division II, in 1985, and my last gig was for that station was broadcasting the state high school championship for the Port Washington football. And it was
at
like
Camp Randall.
Yeah,
that's one of my dreams yet. I haven't been able to do yet. So state football game.
We had a nice little combination of teams. At Grafton, we also did too, and Grafton won the state championship earlier, like in '82 or '83. I can't remember the exact year. So I had a nice little pair of teams that would give me a good chance at, you know, going to a state football championship during that period in time, the mid-80s.
Talking to Bob Look here on Bow Falls Radio. We'll talk a little sports later on, but I got to get your thoughts on, again, I said it feels like it's been a lot longer since Election Day. It feels like Election Day is just rolling around, but it feels like, well, we move on. It was like less than 2 weeks ago. When you saw the results generally, what jumps out? Do we find out anything about Wisconsin voters? Do we find out anything about where Wisconsinites are when it comes to a lot of the issues based on what we saw, especially with the statewide race for state Supreme Court?
I think more than anything else, it when you sit down and you take the whole state of Wisconsin, and I mentioned that in the campaign earlier for state Senate, that there, I believe that there's, you know, the extremes, one side and extreme on the other side. But in that middle is a core of about, like, I think 60% of the people who will listen and make a decision on what they listen to and believe in. I mean, some of the further down races kind of get lost in the shuffle, mm-hmm. so there's not as much scrutiny. But with the state Supreme Court contest, there was a lot more attention, a lot more publicity, a lot more written about it, how important this was, yada, 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 yada. And people were going to take a good close look. I think what probably was the main factor in what the final verdict was not a political, but the two candidates side by side, people made a decision. They made a decision that the one candidate was more their thinking of the way a judge should be, and not, and again, it wasn't that the one candidate wasn't familiar. I mean, he was on the Supreme Court right. prior to that, and he also lost his seats, in a pretty
double digits.
Double, so it wasn't like so. And then he ends up winning the primary to be the candidate and to be the opponent, and it was like. I just don't think that there was never going to get above that threshold. I didn't think that the middle ground people were going to move his way.
That said, you said maybe 60% are movable, in a sense.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it's that many. I was looking at Marathon County's results, and I think there was a pretty standard feeling both on the left and the right that Daniel Kelly was not a great candidate. And yet here in Marathon County, he still won by double digits.
Yeah, but also...
What do you think that says?
What was the percentage of the votes of total voters who could have voted? There's a lot of people sitting on the sidelines still, even if it's an important race.
Right.
There's a lot of people.
I mean,
so I still think that that number is there. It's just that to get people off their... butts to go there and vote, unless it's something that they're really gung-ho for, people have a tendency of kind of like, because first of all, having it on, on a Tuesday, and having limited hours and all this other stuff, they talk about, well, they should, not everyone can do that. There's a lot of good folks out there who would probably like to go out and vote, but maybe they work two jobs. Maybe they, got to find, somebody to watch the kids or whatever. There's so many variances. It should be easy. It should be a holiday. It should be something that, I could see, voting, going through a weekend, right. Like a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So it's like, there it is. We're making it as easy as possible. Mail-in votings. There's ways of doing it. But again, getting people fired up to get off their butts and go out and vote sometimes, that's the hardest thing.
It sounds like someone who's gone through this, that the greatest area for growth for, say, Democrats and those center and center left and left is not to change the folks that are going to vote for the other guy. It's to get the people
just
that aren't
going people
out.
To vote. Just get, I could tell you stories of many people who, after the election, coming up to me saying, "Hey, Bob, how'd the election go?" They asked me how the election goes, like a week after. And I go, well, and you can imagine how I'm not... going to jump all over. I'm like, what are you nuts?
I know, huh?
No, I didn't win. And then I always ask, did you vote? I said, no, I didn't vote. There you go.
Isn't that one of the interesting aspects for me, for somebody like myself who's doing this every day, and for you who worked in the business for so long and then have been involved in electoral politics more recently, that... sometimes, and I think, again, you can talk about that bubble that we talk about, but we're in the bubble where we think about it a lot. And when you look at the number, like well under 40% voted in that last election, that most people are not like us when it comes to thinking about this. That it's not, you have to realize that. And mm-hmm. and in terms of, boy, that's a lot of hard work to get those folks engaged in some way.
Well, even off air, we talked about, and I mentioned that in my particular race, for the state Senate seat, District 29, I would hazard a guess, and I think I'm being ultra conservative in my guesstimate. I thought out of all the people who voted, who actually voted for either myself or my opponent, I would say that probably 90%. of the people who voted wouldn't have been able to pick out a picture between, you know, either one of us.
Right.
Or wouldn't even, you know, if they met, then they wouldn't even know who we were.
Right.
They looked at the name, and they maybe just look at whether it was an R on the side there or a D or an I for independent if they had mm-hmm. a candidate. And, as myself, you know, who likes to get involved and make sure the community is going in the right direction and doing things right by the people, I find that just shocking that when people come out and complain, oh, well, they're spending money on this. Why are they doing this? Hey, did you vote last week? No. Well, why are you complaining?
We got to keep it right here. We'll take a quick break. Come back with Bob. Look, you're on. Chad Holmes with you on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Here on this Monday, we're talking to Bob Look, talking about all sorts of good stuff here, and always glad to have Bob in studio. We were, again, talking about, who votes, who doesn't vote, what the results mean. So, because I guess going back to the point I was trying to make, when I looked at those numbers, it's almost like, again, I was a little disappointed because Marathon County, I felt like, would be a little tighter when the Republicans had a really bad candidate. In your feeling, when you talk about the people that aren't voting, do you feel it is more of the folks that would be less conservative? Do you feel like the folks, because you had a chance to go out there and explore, you know, part of our area in your campaign, who's not voting in your mind?
Again, I think a lot of it has to do with people who really are very busy. They don't just have maybe a job. They maybe have two jobs, maybe a third job. Maybe they're a single parent. Maybe they're vision or what they're trying to survive probably more than anything else, trying to make ends meet, trying to make, you know, make that paycheck or what they do for a living.
Car doesn't break down.
Yeah. Hopefully you don't have a major illness. I mean, you talk about the state, has a surplus, a good chunk of change there, and also, the fact you have this state through the, I don't know, the intelligence to turn down federal dollars that were paid in, that were going to come back to the states to help them in their Medicaid and or is their Badger Care, which is what they call it, here,
right.
To help, help people get coverage, health coverage that they can't afford right now on their own.
Mm-hmm.
Something that helps a lot of people. It's not a handout. It's the stuff that has already been paid in by us. It can come right back.
Yep.
But they turn it down. Why?
It's all a political philosophy statement.
Why? Somebody needs health care. Somebody needs a hand. Somebody, needs to be helped. That's what community is for. That's what, that's what government is, good at doing. And yes, it is good at doing it when it has the money and the support and the funds to get the job done. When you basically cut off the funds because of this crazy notion that, you got to cut taxes, Yes, you can cut taxes if that makes sense,
mm-hmm.
but bills have to be paid. Bills, that'd be like you as a worker and your employer says, we got to cut your wages. We got to cut what you're paying you. And what will people say then? You can't do that.
The thing about it is you say it, the Republicans want to cut taxes. And I saw a report last week that if you're making roughly $25,000, you'll get an $8 tax cut. If you make $1 million, what they like to call families in Wisconsin,
mm-hmm.
the U-line families or E-line families, they'll make $100,000 off that tax cut.
it's the plan, their flat tax plan.
Right.
So you got $6 for a person that's making a little bit below what would be the average, and then you got the wealthiest who have the money to put in millions of dollars of dirty campaign ads where it doesn't affect their lives one bit, because obviously if I think it affected their lives, they wouldn't be writing those checks out, getting $100,000 in this tax cut, and that's one family in Wisconsin. I have girded myself during this time here, during these months where there's going to be negotiations between the governor and the Republicans in the state assembly and the state senate, because frankly, the Democrats don't have the power to completely stop it. That at least they have the opportunity to make a deal. How do you look at what we're going through right now? Because this is, I think, a very important time. People always focus on these elections, but now we have these meetings coming up. What are you looking at when you're looking at these months as we get led into the new state, the two-year state budget?
Well, first of all, you know, when you have representatives from various parts of the state, you're going to have a different vision of how money should be spent and where it should be spent. This is where you have to sit down and, you know, obviously advocate for your people you represent. I mean, that goes without saying. But you also have to listen to other representatives, whether they're Republican, whether Democrat, or whatever, and find out what is important, you know, for them to, you know, and weigh the balance. What is the most efficient way of spending these tax dollars to help as many people as possible? You know, sometimes you're gonna get shortchanged. It just depends on where you're at, and you try not to. Mm-hmm. I mean, but if you are, say, you know, there's an interest group that's within your boundaries of the district that you represent, you're gonna fight like heck to help, you know, get them funded, you know, as best as possible, or to, you know, help them in a way that will help them, you know, as possible. The funny part about it is when people advocate, you know, we got to cut taxes. Just by saying, well, you cut taxes, you're eliminating the opportunity to make things better. You're trying to take the short way out. And how many times you and your livelihood, and when you're out there going to, I was going to buy this garage door opener. I was going to have my garage door opener, you know, but I found one that's a lot less, you know, it's going to save me at least, you know, half the cost. And then after about a year and a half, thing is, you know, laying in your garage, you know, broke or not functioning, and now you're starting to, now you're chasing, you know, trying to catch up, making it work and all that. There's a lot of folks out there that they'd love to buy a Cadillac, but they'd like to buy it at a Kia price. Well, if you buy a Cadillac with that's priced like a Kia, you better expect that Cadillac not to be performing like a Cadillac. I mean, yes, we're trying to save money, but there comes a time where you can't short it.
I think you're hitting on a good point that when we talk about cutting taxes, when you talk about using this surplus and X number of dollars or X percentage of it going towards tax cuts, it's all part of one big budget. And when you talk about, because there's a sense, I don't think we explain it well enough, this money goes towards different areas, and in some cases you get more back in terms of what you save than what you spend. And Republicans never really talk about that. They're kind of, I think, speak around it when they either nationally you talk about entitlements or whatever it may be. But these dollars that come in taxes, they come out more often than not where the state and the country is actually coming out ahead. Because one way or the other, you have to pay for a lot of these things, or else you're going to be finding yourself in a society that, you know, completely doesn't work.
Well, when the state of Wisconsin started to cut back on the percentage of shared revenue with local government, whether it be county government, whether it be city government, village government, town government, And also the school boards throughout the state of Wisconsin, when they started cutting back, you know, on their share, you know, this all started, you know, back, you know, with the Walker administration, again, pushing the thing of we're going to cut taxes, we're going to cut taxes. Well, now you have, you know, school districts, you have villages, you have city services, county government that is struggling to provide the services that the people have been accustomed to and expect, and they don't want to hear from them this excuse of, well, we can't afford it, because they go, what do you mean you can't afford it? I pay my taxes. Yeah, well, you may have paid the taxes, but the state government decided to cut the amounts of money shared, their shared revenue, to help, you know, these programs, to help fund these things. I mean, there's some great organizations right here in Marathon County that are like, whoa, this is going to be tight. This is going to be tough.
And you see cases such as in Athens just a couple of weeks ago. They had to vote on a referendum or else their district was going to get merged and right out of business.
Correct.
I mean, you're literally getting to the point where you're asking for a vote to keep the doors open.
And the funny part about it, you have citizens who say, why are you bringing these, you know, referendum in front of, why don't you get this done for us? Well, you voted for the people you put in, you know, into those positions saying, hey, we want you to cut taxes. Okay, well, if you're going to be cutting taxes, well, there's going to be less revenue, and we're going to have to figure out a way to try to, and it's a vicious cycle.
Yeah, and I mean, we have an infrastructure where I know the governor talks about fixing the roads, but I got a road right in front of my building here that we need to have fixed.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it goes down to just the basics. Yeah, it really does.
And I'll tell you what, you know, the amount of highway work and repair work that has been done, especially on the main highways, and has been done well. But again, you can only go as far as what the what the state legislature and the state senate will allow him. Mm-hmm. And there you are. Here's that, you know, catch 22.
Yeah, you have a state legislature that when the governor puts out a budget says, well, it doesn't matter. We're starting from scratch. Mm-hmm. Which really, and I know some, in talking to you in the campaign, that's not the attitude that you would have. That you would not just have this, you know, slap of the hand here. You know, I don't really care what your ideas are. I'm just going to put out my own ideas. Instead of saying, okay, I'm going to look at it, see if there's something. Because say there's even 10% or 20% or 30% of the governor's budget, which I'm sure there was probably more than that, that you could say, okay, at least it gets, I think, dialogue going, and it just makes everybody feel better about the process. What? But when you say, oh, it doesn't matter what the governor says, the man that was elected by the entire state just last November, that's a pothole in democracy, in my opinion.
Well, again, you have to listen, and there has to be give and take. I'm not just advocating that, oh, let's just, you know, spend money
right.
crazily. I mean, I'll be the first person, trust me, I am not. I got a vehicle out there. It's got 277,000 miles on it. It's 20 years old. And people say, well, why don't you get a new car? I says, well, this one still runs, and it gets me from point A to point B. And it's like,
nowadays, it's not fun to get another car.
And it's like, you know, I'm not running around here just, you know, throwing money left and right. And just like everybody else, you have bills to pay. You've got to keep yourself within a budget. But you do the things that you need to do to make your life at least, you know, livable. And unfortunately, the way things are now with the budget process, I don't think that the Republican base of legislators, as gerrymandered as they are, and they don't want, in my mind, the state to succeed.
When you say that government isn't the answer and it does not do good things, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah. I mean, if you don't invest in something, well, of course it isn't going to work. If you don't put oil in the car, your car is going to burn up and not work. It's like you can't sit there and
if your whole reason for being is that government doesn't work and you get into office, how can you have the ability to make government work when
again. It's like this vicious circle.
Well, be like having the manager of the Milwaukee Brewers. Hi, the brand new manager of the Milwaukee Brewers. Well, what do you think of your team? Well, I don't really think we're very good, and we're not going to spend any money on players, and I'm frankly going to, I'm just going to let guys swing for the fences, and, that's the way it is.
There's no hope this season,
Because our team is never going to be good. It never works. They're never going to win a championship.
Exactly.
That's kind of a defeatist attitude in my book.
Got to take another quick break. We'll come back with a few more minutes with Bob Look here on this Monday afternoon. Again, it's a chilly one here in central Wisconsin. Temperature of 30 with a wind chill factor of 18. Again, we'll get a complete look at your forecast coming up in just a few minutes with Ray Miller. But more with Bob Look coming up next. Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. BowFallsRadio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. The time is 2:50. Chilly Monday, but glad you could be with us until 4 o'clock. And then from 4 till 6, Devil's Advocates. Again, we are talking to Bob Look. And Bob, of course, you did run for the 29th Senate seat. Corey Tomchuk has succeeded Jerry Petruski. Hadn't heard much from our state senator. He won the election, so he's our state senator. And then last week, I came across a story, and I talked about it late last week. Basically, the first thing I'd heard from him since the election, and he is he's teamed up with an assembly Republican to put out a bill that would basically allow staff and at schools to conceal carry. The idea of the good guy with a gun.
It'd be up to the local.
Yes.
The school board,
To allow them to do that. Yes, exactly right. And obviously, depending on the political persuasion of said school board, whether or not that would occur. We saw another weekend, not school shootings, but again, I think, the scourge that is gun violence. I found it interesting because, you talked a lot about a lot of different issues during the course of the campaign, and this is where our state senator has decided to put his initial political capital. I know this is an issue that, you mentioned earlier in the program, gun violence ripped your heart out. So you have, I think, a personal stake in this. What are your thoughts on it? And again, I think this is an issue that's been talked about, but generally, maybe combine what this proposal is and also basically the headlines we've been seeing this year, where 2023 has been a really, really tough start with this issue.
Well, first things first, by saying that the school board can make a decision whether staff can, on their own, carry a weapon or a concealed weapon, what have you, they can do that. Well, first of all, I doubt that there's very many teachers or school officials who, when they went to school and college to get that degree to be a teacher, they weren't expecting now that they want to be encouraged by their local school boards to arm themselves. Now, again, I'm not talking about gun control or that. I'm just saying, why is that responsibility being put on teachers, faculty, and officials? That wasn't part of the gig. I mean, if you go to law enforcement classes to be a policeman, well, you know what you're getting yourself into. When you sign the dotted line to join the Army or the Marines, and you know what you're getting into. When you sign up to be a teacher, a grade school teacher, or maybe a kindergarten teacher, or a middle school or high school teacher, or a faculty member, I don't think that was part of the gig when you're, taking it. Second of all, adding more guns is not going to stop violence and fatalities. things like red flag laws could have. And I always just use the example that's closest to my heart, and that's my wife's and the other three folks that were killed on that March 22nd, 2017 here in this area. That if that red flag law, the way the best ones are written, the person who was responsible for those shootings would have had his guns confiscated by law enforcement. That would have been a law. That would have been policy. Is it guaranteed to have stopped the incident or stopped the loss of those lives? No, it's not a guarantee, but I'll tell you what it is. It's a start to maybe preventing something. Wouldn't that be at least worth the effort? Wouldn't that be at least worth the idea of that?
And red flag laws are not gun laws. That's people laws, really. Yeah. You know, it really,
somebody who has a police record. Yeah,
it's not a Second Amendment issue, a red flag law, right, is it, at all.
It was to make sure that somebody who has a previous police intervention or has had law enforcement intervene, that would be the deal. Now, would that have prevented him from getting a gun some way? No. But it's at least putting a speed bump or a roadblock or something. Doing nothing means you're doing nothing.
And the American people, and there's a poll out this week, CBS poll, talking about, are these events, for lack of a better term, the price of freedom? We just have to deal with it. Or are there things we can do? And 3/4 of the American people say, there are things we can do.
Is it the price for freedom in Australia?
No, and that's it.
When they had that...
people of this country feel like we can be doing something. The idea we can't be doing anything is not what the American people think.
And again,
as representatives of the people, they should be listening to that.
All I say is, it's like I don't wish this to happen to anybody. What myself and the other people, who lost life. And every time I hear those stories, when they come across with another shooting, 4 killed here and 5 killed here and 20 injured and things of that nature. Thank goodness, I don't get all these calls from media like I used to, like soon after that, wanting me to weigh in on this, because I really don't want to be an expert on this. I would have liked to have been an expert on going out to visit Door County with my wife and having some fun with my dogs and her and living a full life, but, well, that ain't going to happen.
Yeah. Well, to put the finishing touches on an expert opinion, that something I think you would like to be an expert on is Badger hockey. Since we last talked, Mike Hastings named the new Badger hockey coach from Minnesota State. So what are your thoughts?
Well, first of all, he sent me a text. He got my number and he texted, looking forward to, seeing me and that we text back and forth. He mentioned that he remembered, meeting me when Mankato was here to play the Badgers like about 10 years ago. And I go, you remember me? He says, yeah, I remember your voice. We were really impressed when here at the Kohl Center. I'm really looking forward to seeing you next season. Time will tell. And, I wish him all the best. I mean, I love Coach Tony Granato and Marco Siki and the gang, but that's, if you don't win in sports, that's kind of, the unhealthy or the sad thing about it.
Especially in this era. You don't have much patience anymore in professional and big-time college sports, especially now college sports with all the money.
Yeah, with that portal program where now students can switch universities, bing, bing, bing. Yeah, it's tough.
Well, Bob, thanks for coming in. We'll talk again real soon.
I'm going to get my snowshoes on and try.